I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. Today, the topic is radical inclusion and how radical inclusion is relevant today. Now, this weekend, I participated in the Women's March in San Diego, largest demonstration in U.S. history. My mom let me know the night before that she was going to be participating, and so decided last minute to get my act together and join and be a part of this. And so I stayed up late and I made a sign. My sign says, listen to your mothers. And then went down, participated, and I was unsure if the anger and the aggression of the day would be overwhelming to me. There's a lot of justified anger, and there was a lot of anger present, but I was really flooded by love, and I was flooded by acceptance, and I was flooded by being a part of something. Even though there was messaging in all different directions, I felt like there was this unity that was so encouraging and so powerful moving forward. There was a bunch of different messages that I feel like was, there's stuff, one sign that I saw over and over that kind of was the summary, I think, of what everybody was marching about. And maybe I could be wrong about this, but it was women's rights are human rights, immigrants make America great, climate change is real, Black Lives Matter, love is love. And it felt like those kind of encapsulated the overall themes that people were marching about. You know, and then a lot of anti-Trump stuff, but most of the anti-Trump stuff was within concerns about those principles. Maybe that, and including that concern about the media and, you know, truth and facts in a post-fact world or alternative facts. But once I got home from the march, I started to see things online from people who were being critical and posts from people that were receiving criticism. And it made me think a lot about the idea of radical inclusion. Now, radical inclusion is one of the 10 principles of Burning Man. And that means that everyone is welcome. My mom is welcome. The Oregon fishermen, the tuna guys are welcome. The frat guys that just went to Coachella last year are welcome. The full-time artists are welcome. Everyone is welcome. If you are adhering to the other 9 principles, if you are participating, if you are practicing gifting and decommodification and immediacy, if you are participating, you are welcome. And I think that there's something incredibly significant about that, because it doesn't mean that you like everything. It doesn't mean that you resonate with everything. It doesn't mean that you're a fan of or that you want to participate or join in on anything. Like, I am a vegetarian. So the fact that there's so many people cooking bacon and all into this cult of bacon at Burning Man, not for me. I support it. You know, there's a lot of bars and drinking. I'm not a huge drinker, so I don't even walk around with a cup when I go around, but I support it. You know, I am not much of an athlete, so I'm not going to participate in the Burning Man Ultramarathon, but I support it. I don't understand it. No, I'm sorry. Anyways, that's the point. I don't understand. It's not for me, but I support it. I often say that at Burning Man, you can do whatever you want as long as it is an authentic expression. I like to say that I might not join you in whatever you're into, but I'll hold your coat while you do it. And that vibe, that is one of the few truly unifying and all-pervasive and kind of ever-present traits of a burner. What is a burner? Very hard to say. They don't look a certain way. They don't have a certain kind of job or a kind of money. They don't listen to a certain kind of music. But one of the things that they all do, I believe, is that they all foster a supportive environment. They all support other people's pursuit of expressing their truth. And that's why you have this incredibly broad offerings between theme camps, from yoga to Thunderdome to food camps to music camps to meditative camps to you name it. Anything that is an authentic expression is welcome. And that vibe, that radical inclusion, is part of what makes it this magical place. Because in the default world, we are so often subjected to ridicule and judgment. And that is so powerful, because you can hear 100 people say, "I love your shirt," and one person goes, "I can't believe you wore that." And ugh, it is so hard. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength to not be affected by voices of criticism. But for the most part, Burning Man is about saying, go for it. Wear that. Do that. Paint that. Sing that. I'm not going to hang out while you do it because it's kind of grating on my ears, or, you know, but I love that you're doing it because you're doing it for you. Yes. Like, I used to ride around on a pink fur bike in the neighborhood around here, and I would get so much, you know, honks and waves and smiles, and every once in a while, somebody would say, like, yell something from the car, and all of a sudden, all of that positivity and all that joy I was feeling was like, ugh! And it really took so much of my accumulated inner strength to be like, no, like, I don't care. I am not going to let that affect me. But that takes, and I'll be honest, that is hard. Even after practicing it for years and years, it is very hard to take ridicule and judgment and just be like, doesn't matter to me. I don't care. And that's why the voices of dissent and judgment and criticism that I heard after the march and demonstration were so troubling. And it isn't even to say that the judgment and the criticism is unwarranted. You know, at Burning Man, there's a lot of criticism about the fact that it's not a green event. There's all this huge carbon footprint. There's all this burning of things and driving, and it's just like it's a terribly anti-environmental gathering. And that's a legitimate criticism. Now, it's not what the event is about, so I encourage people to take that criticism and express it in a place where that's more what the dialogue is about. People are also critical about the lack of racial diversity, and they're critical about the fact that it's inaccessible to people who don't have a certain amount of money. So there's not a good representation of socioeconomic groups. There is, however, an awesome representation internationally, but the point is these criticisms are valid, but I don't think it's productive when those criticisms distract from the rest of the radical inclusion, the rest of the support of radical expression, because within that place of finding your truth and expressing from your power stance and channeling your what you care about, that gives you a strength that then can be channeled into whatever the causes is that you're called to. Not everybody needs to be an environmental eco-warrior. We need to support each other. We need to support each other as we find our voices. So as I heard people being criticized for being like white feminists, and it's being said in the same, you know, tone as like white supremacists, because there are women fighting for women's rights who are not being inclusive enough with regards to women of color or trans women they're not doing enough, they're not including enough. And again, this isn't to say that the people who are frustrated by their voices not being loud enough don't have a right to be upset. They don't have a right to express their anger. They don't have a right to, but I find it so frustrating when people who are trying to make progress are criticized for not going far enough. Because the instinct is not to push harder and farther and be louder. The instinct is to be quiet and do less, because that's much easier. And I'm conflicted because, you know, I don't want to tell someone not to be angry or not to express themselves or not to be disappointed, but I think that in terms of the productivity of the voice and the productivity of the sentiment is really hindered. I know that I have had a number of times in the last, you know, 6 months where I've felt people have heard people have been critical of me not being inclusive enough, or not doing enough, or not being active enough, or not being vocal enough. And my instinct is not to be like, man, I don't want to disappoint you. I'm going to do more. My instinct is like, God, you can't win. So I feel like one of the reasons why this weekend's march was so powerful was because it did include, and it was radically inclusive for whatever people were drawn to. I mean, there was a ton of signs. The signs were incredible. The signs were so brilliant and genius and clever. It really like opened me up to like the whole art form of sign writing. You know, you have to express something in a finite amount of space, have it, you know, hit people and not be, well, I guess it could be either so powerful that people remember it or so funny they remember it. But there was expressions that many of them were in directions that are not something that I'm super passionate about, or not that were way more aggressive or angry or hurtful than I would express myself. But I support everyone's right to do so. And someone holding a sign that said something mean about Trump or about, you know, golden showers, you know, like I felt like that didn't, I was, that did not force me to agree with that person. All I was saying is that I am supporting, we're supporting one another's right to speak our minds and to express our truths and to stand in our power and channel what it is that we are passionate about. And when we all can do that, I think it makes a difference. And when we chip away at each other because we don't think it's enough. Now, I'm not saying it's totally in the other direction. Like, you know, it's the not enough. It's like, okay, you're about radical expression, but you're not environmental enough. You're about human rights, but you're not being inclusive enough of trans stuff. Now, I think one of the challenges in that is because we have to understand that we're all on a spectrum. We're all on our journey. The difference in gay rights now compared to when I was a kid is crazy. The difference in just awareness and tone and people's, you know, acceptance and what is considered to be offensive and not. I mean, I look back at the way that when I was a kid, I mean, half of the words that I used to use as insults, I've since learned are offensive and homophobic or, you know, derisive and insensitive in some way. And so I've learned I don't use those anymore. But at the time, I didn't know any better. And a aid of compassion and love to get me to a better understanding is way more productive, I believe, than being angry and shaming me. Because angry and shaming makes me feel like we're on other sides. When actually, we're on the same side. I just don't have the... I'm ignorant. But anytime you attack someone, you've force me on the defensive. And the same is true with like trans stuff. Like I'm still, and I've talked about it here before, I'm still kind of getting my head around the right way to speak about these things, what is actually an offensive thing to say, you know, use a pronoun. And so I feel like I'm in the, and just the overall awareness, the fact that there are so many kids that are expressing and coming out with their true genders at this young age. Like, I'd never heard of that growing up. That was, so to see that it is now part of our culture that we are trying to get used to and getting our bearings with is incredible. And so to turn that progress into an us-them because there's not been enough progress from some people, it really discourages me. And I'll say it again, I don't say that as an attempt to quiet anyone's anger or quiet anyone's passion. I'm saying that when we have now learned that divided we fall, that maybe we need to figure out a way to, in a state of unity, educate one another and lift each other up so we're all in the same place instead of attacking each other down. Because the other side isn't doing that. The other side is pretty unified in their stance. So, yet another time when we can learn from the burners and practice radical inclusion. I get that one of the responsibilities and the burdens on the privileged is to not shut down when we're criticized, to not shirk the responsibility, even when it requires, you know, a degree of owning up to uncomfortableness. I get that. And I get that asking someone to be more understanding is yet another example of privilege, and yet another example of someone having to work harder, do more. And I'm not arguing that as a truth. I'm just arguing that if productivity and positive growth is the goal, what's fair may need to take a second seat to what's effective. Maybe I'm just saying, please stop teasing me. Or tease me in a little bit more fun way. Do it with a funny sign. That's what I'm saying. If you're going to tease me, do it in a funny sign. Another part of the radical inclusion that has come up this week is there's this big discussion on, is it okay to punch a Nazi? The gentleman who has become a spokesperson for the alt-right, and you know, he argues he is not a neo-Nazi, but he certainly says things that align himself with a racist and bigoted stance. And in a, he was out on the street doing an interview over the weekend, and a gentleman ran over, sucker punched him, and punched him in the face in the middle of the interview. And there's a lot of people that are like, yeah, you get what you deserve. And I'll admit that on a deep primal level, there is this sickening joy in seeing someone be punished for actions that I don't like. And there is a feeling like, look, that's the law of nature. You know, you poke a bear enough, the bear is going to attack you back. And this guy's been poking bears. But from a conceptual level, I believe in freedom of speech, and I believe that if answering perspectives you don't like with violence does little more than satisfy that little reptilian joy. It doesn't discourage that person from their perspective. They don't go, oh gosh, I've been critical of an entire race of people, but now they've violently punched me, therefore I no longer think less of these people. No, it becomes the argument. And that's the same thing with like violent protests as well, you know? You burn things down, you give the other side all the evidence it needs to continue and to strengthen their treatment and their judgment. And so I urge myself and others to really question how much you want to let yourself enjoy violence being the answer in situations like this. It certainly doesn't stop the violence. It certainly doesn't lead us to a place. No one gets punched in the face and go, wow, that hurt. I guess maybe we shouldn't punch each other. People get punched in the face and they say, someday I'm going to get them. That is the escalation of violence. That is why people like Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi talked about nonviolence. Again, let me pick that back and say they didn't just say that. They also, it was much more complicated than that, and I'm not saying that you should turn the other cheek and let yourself be punched and not do anything about it, but I am saying that the reason why nonviolence is powerful is because in a demonstration of a violent oppressor and a peaceful protester, when you see that in context, the violence and the absurdity and the injustice becomes so clear that from the outside, you sway a public and a people to the defense of the oppressor. Seeing two people fight, it's who knows who's the freedom fighter and who's the aggressor and who's the bad guy and who's the good guy. Or at least that conclusion becomes easier and easier for someone to come to, especially if they're already looking for a way to dismiss someone's grievance. So, women's rights are human rights. Immigrants make America great. Climate change is real. Black lives matter. Love is love. And we got to protect freedom of speech and be wary of alternative facts. So, I'm very open to people's perspectives, and I would love a peaceful and loving dialogue to escort me along to be in a more open and loving and healing place, just as like I encourage all of us to be that with everyone. If we can peacefully walk each other home, if we can peacefully walk each other lovingly to less ignorance, that power of that massive demonstration can keep infiltrating in all the little paths instead of dividing the power into fractioned groups, which is exactly what the other side or anybody who is against the movements would love to have happen. So I got your back. I'm radically inclusive. I support you if you're coming from a place of truth. I love you. I support you. I got your coat while you're doing it. Thank you for listening to your truth and speaking your truth and supporting others as they speak and act according to their truth. I love you.